Good to see y'all this night, or this afternoon. It's not dark yet. I want to thank Scott for his lesson this morning on ingratitude. I thought it was very good for us that we have a lot to be grateful for and we sometimes just overlook. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about Naaman's servants. There are main characters in the story, and most of you know the story about Naaman. He goes to see Elijah, and Elijah, a messenger, tells him that he's to go wash 7 times in Jordan. He eventually does, and his leprosy is cured because of that. But there are some other minor people, or people are not quite as well, and those are Naaman's servants. The story is in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Let's read it. The whole 5th chapter is about Naaman, but I just want to do the first 14 verses. It says in verse 1, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go down, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 chains of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God, to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seems a quarrel with me.' So it was, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Tarphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." All right, let's first look at Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And here's some drawings of leprosy. Leprosy was a dreaded disease back then, and people, if you know the Jews, you had to call out that you're unclean if you got leprosy. You could not basically get rid of it. They didn't have a cure for it, and you were going to die from it. And he had this. But he was a commander. He was an important man. He said he was a mighty man of valor. But he could not cure his leprosy. I don't care how great he was, how important he was. He could not get rid of his leprosy. Look at the two kings, the king of Syria and the king of Israel. The king of Syria was very favorable towards Naaman. He gave him great riches to take with him when he heard about the story about the prophet in Samaria. He said, you take all this and this letter to the king of Israel and see about it. But, you know, he couldn't take care of a leprosy. So you go now, and I will support you, and I will give you great wealth to take to the king. So he goes to the king of Israel. And king of Israel, he was kind of furious too. Why would you send it? Do you think I am God? Do you think I can heal and kill? Why does he get this idea? Ah, he wants to start a fight with me here is what he wants to do. He wants a quarrel. He starts something up here. I see what he's trying to do. He knows I can't cure that. However, a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, comes into play. Remember now, she's young, she's a girl, and she's a captive. And she's been put under the service of Naaman, his household. As a matter of fact, he is to serve his wife. The young servant, girl, had faith in God's power. How do you know that? Well, by her actions, her character. You think about this. She's taken in captivity. She's young. We don't know the age. She's taken in captivity. But she has faith in her God that he can cure. Because she tells the mistress about it. About there's a prophet in Samaria that's a prophet of God, and he can cure leprosy. What do we know about her background? Well, for one thing, she knew God. Her family must have taught her. She must have some good relationships there that they feel like she need know about our God. And she knows about God. And she had developed this great faith for him. Not only that, she just wanted a sick man to know what she knew. There is a God who can deliver. She had a heart. She is taken in captivity. They are the enemy. But what about her character? Do you see anything, an animosity against them? No. She calls him his master. And she sees that he's got this leprosy. And she knows what kind of leprosy, what it is. And she says, let me tell you, my God can deliver. You haven't found anybody else. They're able to help you. But my God can do it. Now, what if she had thought, before I say anything, if I come out and say that, you know, they might just laugh at me. Here I am just a young servant. I've been taken a captive. But I have to go. If I go ahead and tell Naaman's wife, what's her reaction going to be about that? She may think I'm foolish to laugh at me. Or as a matter of fact, she may even scold. She may tell her husband, Naaman, my master, and they come in and scold me about that. What do you mean talking about your God? You're in captive. Our gods are better than yours. What do you mean talking about it? Or, you know, they could even punish her for it. Think about that. Or it says, she might say, okay, I sent him to Elijah the prophet, but he's a foreigner. Maybe God won't cure him. Maybe Elijah will send him away because he's not an Israelite. He's a foreigner. But no, she didn't do that. She didn't have the enemy whipped that way. She could rebel against them because they are the enemy. But if you look at her character, and look like the characters of Joseph and Daniel when they were taken in captivity. They were compassionate. They served with compassion. And that's what she did too. She spoke. She said, whatever the risk is, I'm going to take it. I am going to tell my, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. You know, here's something really kind of small for her, something little to say. But look at the end results, what she started. I don't know how old Naaman was or what, and how long he's had his leprosy. But nobody he's found or been in touch with could be able to cure him. But she had compassion on my master and says, if he was only there. Well, that put an ideal. So Naaman's wife told him about it. And he goes and tells the king of Syria about this. They take it for granted, what she has said. Paul said in Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 to 2, what advantage then has the Jew? Well, the last part says, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. This young girl was a Jew, and she knew the oracles of God. She knew God's commandments, his laws. She knew what God could do. And she had strong faith in what God could do. And she knew if he would just get to Elijah, that his leprosy could be cured. And like a good steward of that trust, this young girl's faith ultimately led an adulterer to declare, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all earth except in Israel. 2 Kings 5:15. After he is cured of his leprosy, he goes back to Elijah and says, there is no God in all earth like your God. Now, just think about this. She didn't have to say anything. She could be quiet. She'd just been kind of meek and mild, going about it. Or she could have, like I said, animosity against him and just kind of rebelled against him. But she cared about them. And she made a comment. Here's a man who's got disease of leprosy. And I know the cure. Well, you and I today, we know another Z. It's called sin. And you and I know the cure for it. Are we willing, like this young girl, to tell people the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, and what he can do for us? She had faith that God would heal his leprosy. Do you not have faith that Jesus will heal the sins of the world? Like she said, she didn't have to. It took nerve for her, I thought, took nerve for her to do that, to come out and say this. But she was a compassionate person. She says, I have this news, and I got to tell him about this God that I serve, and I have faith in it that he can do it, and he will do it. It's what she comes out to be. Because she has the conviction. If my master, which you see this prophet, the prophet of God in Samaria, your leprosy could be cured. Think about that, what you could do for him. What did he do? Well, he went and told his king, and he went over to it. What if we tell somebody? We don't know what the results is going to be. But at least we go ahead and tell them, here, your sin, that disease of sins you have, can be cured. And it can be cured by Jesus Christ. Here's a good example of a young girl leading us, a good example for us to follow. What she fell into, even in captivity, she was compassionate about her enemies. All right, let's look at these. There are other servants too. Elijah didn't come out when Naaman went there. Elijah sent a messenger out there to him. And he told him, he says, if you go wash in the River Jordan 7 times, your leprosy will be cured. Pretty simple answer, isn't it? All right, how did Naaman feel? Verse 11. But Naaman became furious, and he tells why, and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman had made up in his mind how the prophet was going to heal him. He says, this is what he's going to do. He's going to come out and he's going to do this, call upon his name, Lord. What? This is what he's going to do. Can you imagine how Naaman felt when he sent not himself out there, but a messenger and said, go dip into Jordan River 7 times. Just wash yourself 7 times and you're... When his expectations were disappointed, his human expectation caused him to be offended. He became furious with that. He was thinking, Elijah, do you know who I am? I'm an important person. I'm a commander. And the king has sent all this wealth over here for you to cure me. And you will not even come out and see me. You sent your servant out to me, a messenger. His leprosy did not humble his pride, because he turned away in a rage. He thought that he'd come in and out and do all this, and he did not do it. And he says, the waters in Damascus are much better than this. Why would I go in this filthy waters here? And he let that stop him from curing his leprosy. His pride. He knows how horrible this disease is. And he was seeking. He was actively seeking a cure for it. But his pride got in the way. He wouldn't do it. He was going to go back because Elijah didn't come out and tell him some great thing. That's what happened. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he said to you, wash and be clean? Now, aren't you glad that, or should we say Naaman is glad that he had these servants with him? He called him and says, my father. You know, like the young servant girl, she called him my master. She showed respect and courtesy for it. And here they tell me, they know he's in a rage. He's furious about it. And he's going to go back without falling. And they said, look here. Call him father. They pointed out to him very plainly the folly and foolishness of your conduct. He said, if he had come out, you are a warrior, you're a commander. If he had came out and said, you know, there's a tribe over here that just been pestering me and my servants. They're stealing my stuff and they're just awful people. Would you go and kill every one of them and bring me the ruler of it, head to me, and then I'll cure you of your leprosy. He would have been flat on it right then. He would have thought that was something great. Commander here, he's valor, he's strong. He would have done it. However, he says, look, the servant says, you would do it if it's something great. But now, it's not that great. Why are you quarreling with him over a simple solution? Just a simple solution. Why are you making such a big deal about it? We know you're a important man, but look at yourself, what you're thinking. You have leprosy, and you can be cured of it if you just go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. That's a simple solution. Why don't you follow it? Just like you and I. We have simple solutions. We have a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you're baptized, you can wash that disease of the sins away. But will people do it? It's a simple solution. You can have a soul that cleanses of sin, pure and white. If you obey his will and be washed in baptism, immersed in baptism, you can do that. But how many people quarrel against that too? Just like Naaman here. He was ready to turn around and go back and keep his leprosy. And people today will turn their back from baptism and keep their sins. But look at these servants, what they have done. These are not the important people. These are the servants, the slaves here. But they did what? They had faith in their master, our Lord, and they did it. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he went back and told Elijah, what a God you have. Doesn't say what he says to the young girl when he gets back home. But I'm sure he was very appreciative for her comments. To get rid of leprosy, the dreaded disease, this girl took the chance to tell him about her God. And Elijah gave him a simple solution. This is what you have to do to get yourself rid of leprosy. Now, you and I know the simple solution too. You and I need to be broadcasting the good news, just like that little servant girl. We can do it. We don't have to be preachers. We don't have to do that. We can make comments and tell people about Jesus Christ. Just have your faith. He said, well, no, I can't do that. She wasn't elegant. She was a young girl. But she had that great faith in their God that can do what he could do, and that was cure leprosy. And you and I know that Jesus Christ can save you, wash away your sins. So we should be like these servants. Not like Naaman, not like the kings that can't cure it, but we can be like the servant. We can do it. And there may be someone here tonight that has not obeyed the gospel, has not had their sins washed away. This is a good opportunity. Or you may have, but you have gone astray. There is no better time than tonight. The invitation song, what will your answer be? Will you come while we stand and sing?